to the scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, beginning with the first verse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, in central California lies one of North America's most well-known mountain ranges, the Sierra Nevada. The highest peak in North America, highest peak in the continental United States, excuse me, Mount Whitney can be found in the Sierra Nevada, as well as also Lake Tahoe and Yosemite National Park. Also home in the Sierra Nevada are the giant sequoias, the tallest and the biggest plants, living organisms in the world. The giant sequoia may not grow as tall as their cousins, the coastal redwoods, which are found north of San Francisco, but they're much wider and bigger. Now, the tallest giant sequoia is 311 feet tall, and the widest is 69 feet wide at its trunk. The oldest living organisms or living plants in the world. There was one called a muir snag, which is now dead, but it lived for over 3,500 years. And some of the other trees have been living for over 3,200 years. To put that in perspective, David lived about 3,000 years ago. How can these trees grow so large and live for so long? Well, they're able to withstand fires because they're so long, and droughts because their roots go for so deep, and because of the bark, they, even a low-intensity fire actually does it benefits and allows the young giant sequoias to grow and get its root system down. There really isn't much that can do damage to a giant sequoia, except for when people cut it down. And unfortunately, when the settlers went through California and saw these large trees, the majority, over 90% of these trees, were cut down and used for lumber. All that remained was a stump. In the verses preceding our text, God uses the figurative language of cutting down a large tree talk about how he would cut down all those who don't obey his word and those who oppose him. In the last verse of chapter 10, we read, he will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. Now, chapter 10 focuses on the destruction of Israel's enemies, specifically the Assyrians. In chapter 11, our focus shifts to Israel, to Judah and its monarchy, from David's line. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. David's father, of course, is Jesse. From David's line came the kings of Judah. But like the Assyrians, that great and magnificent tree is cut down, and all that remains is a stump. Now that wasn't supposed to happen. Now these are God's chosen children. They were supposed to be great, big, magnificent trees, untouchable, indestructible. They had withstood attack after attack. God had been with them. They had won victory after victory. David was the one chosen by God. And to David, God gave this promise. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. The Jews and their kings thought they were indestructible, that no one could do them any harm. So they tested God. They became just as wicked as the nations around them. Take King Ahaz, for example. We talked about King Ahab last Wednesday. He sacrificed his own son in a fire to the false gods around him. And Ahaz and the other wicked kings of Judah, they led the people of Israel to worship these idols. And so God cut them down. Both the nation and their kings were cut down. He sent nation after nation who took whack after whack against these Israelites, and eventually nothing was left but a stump. We like to consider ourselves giant sequoias. We're untouchable, able to withstand attacks. Now we're Christians. Now we figure, so no matter what I do, I'll be a Christian the rest of my life. So we get this false sense of security. We go out and we do whatever we want to do. We believe whatever we want to believe and act like a spoiled child. We follow the ways of the world around us. We begin to care less and less about God and His Word as we go after the fame or the fun or the fortune that this life has to offer. At times we offer just like we live just like the rest of the world around us, and yet we expect to be treated differently by God. So Paul's warning to the Corinthians stands still for us today. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. In so many ways, we're like those Israelites. We think that we cannot fall. We think on the basis of who we are or what we do, we could stand forever. We become proud and conceited. And soon we trust in ourselves and our gifts and our abilities and who we are instead of trusting in God. So let the people of Israel and Judah be a warning for us. If we follow in their footsteps, we can expect the same result. We will be cut down. Nothing will be left but stumps. Just like the stump of Jesse. But look at what comes up from that stump. It's not completely dead as it apparently seems. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. From this seemingly dead stump of a tree comes a shoot, a branch. Later on in verse 10, he calls it the root of Jesse. And you may have experience. You may know what this looks like. You cut off something, maybe it's a tree or a bush, and you come back later on in the summer, and it still has growth to it, some offshoots start growing up. Now usually these shoots don't really amount to much and they're pretty ugly. You're better off just cutting them off whenever you see them. Of course we know who this shoot is. Jesus. He came from a stump. The stump that was cut off, that stump of Jesse, he came as a second David. The line of the monarchy had long been cut off. So Jesus didn't come in great pomp and circumstances, born in a palace like you expect a king to, but of a lowly virgin in a stable. Lowly beginnings. But unlike most shoots, Now this shoot, it grew up to a great and magnificent tree, the greatest the world has ever seen. One that would last forever and ever because Jesus, as God, is eternal. Born in lowly circumstances, to grow up to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this shoot is starkly contrasted to the kings of Judah, to the wicked kings who didn't care about God, who went against God, who sacrificed their own children in a fire, who led the people astray. Starkly contrasted is this shoot of Jesse, who's given the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, a sevenfold Spirit, a number of completeness. In other words, Jesus would have all spiritual gifts, broken down into two sets of three. At first, he gives him a spirit of wisdom and understanding. God knows all things. The Lord knows your wants and your desires. He understands how you feel because he lived in this sinful world just like you. He is given the spirit of counsel and of power. Not only does he know your needs, but he also gives you advice through his holy word. Through his word, he relays to you your plan of redemption through his suffering and death on the cross. And his power means that he has the power to take away your enemies, to defeat your enemies. He has the power to help you in your needs, your wants, and your desires. He has the power to take you to his heavenly home. He is given the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. As God, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. No one knows the Father as well as Jesus. Jesus knows the Father as a loving and gracious God, a God slow and slow to anger and abounding in love. So, given the fear of the Lord, out of respect, out of reverence to God, Jesus humbly submitted to the will of the Lord. And in this spirit that he has, in this spirit of knowledge and understanding, the Lord Jesus doesn't see us as we see us. As we read in 1 Samuel 16, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We see someone who is poor and needy. We see someone who's been beaten down by this world. We see someone who is rich and wealthy and powerful. We see those that profess to be Christians, those who are proud of their Lutheran heritage, those who don't seem as if they care about God's word at all. But God doesn't look at us as we look at us. God is really only concerned about one thing: faith. And he knows whether someone believes or not. No matter what they say or do, as we read, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions of the earth, for the poor of the earth. Christ always does what is right. Full of righteousness and faithfulness, not just right in the sense that he never does any wrong, that he always obeys God's word, but also that he does us right, that he lifts up the poor and the needy in spirit, those who can't save themselves, and he gives us his righteousness, he gives us his perfection. He's also fair. God is a just God who demands payment for sin. So Christ took that payment and paid it with his own precious blood on the cross. So when God looks at us, he is able to declare us not guilty on account of Christ. And all these blessings that this righteous shoot would do are received through faith. And notice what it says about this root of David, that he delights in the fear of the Lord. Christ takes pleasure whenever someone believes in him, whenever someone gives awe and respect to the Lord, when he is brought from death to life, he and the angels with him rejoice. He takes pleasure whenever someone is made his own dear child, because he will have another companion in heaven. Unlike the other kings of Judah, unlike those wicked kings of Judah who led the people astray, who opposed God, is this righteous branch who rejoices in the fear of the Lord. Finally, notice the two belts that this righteous branch wears. Not literal belts, of course. No, they are the belt of righteousness and faithfulness. Again, contrasted to the kings of Judah. They didn't do what was right. They weren't faithful to God and his word. But the faithful and perfect Lord makes us righteous in the sight of God through faith. The great sequoias are certainly great and they're certainly magnificent. You can say that there's nothing else like them on the face of the earth, some living for over 3,000 years. We may look as ourselves as great sequoias, but the truth is we're not that great. We're not that magnificent. Eventually, we will all be cut down when we die. But Christ is that root from the dead stump of Jesse. That shoot grows into that great, magnificent tree that was cut down again only to rise in greater glory. And soon, he will return. And he will make us great and magnificent as we share in his heavenly glory forever. Not 3,000 or 3,500 years. But great and magnificent forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.